Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. If we're ready to get started, my name is Gordy Euler. I'm with Clark County Community Planning, and we're here to brief you, I guess, provide information about where we are in the comprehensive plan update and sort of what we've been up to. So, next slide. Purpose of our meeting is to review the State Environmental Policy Act process, to give you a summary of scoping comments, to talk about what we were proposing is supplemental EIS alternatives, and then some other issues, and then to talk about next steps. Here's our famous chart. We're going to have to start checking some more things off here because we're into public review and comment, SEPA analysis. We're starting that process. So next time you see this, hopefully there'll be some more check marks down the in process part of this down there in the right hand column on the green in the green shaded area. So next slide. So just by way of review, State Environmental Policy Act requires us to look at potential impacts from projects and non-development projects, and we do normally do that with a checklist. For larger projects, oftentimes a full environmental impact statement is, or EIS is required, and also for larger non-projects. And the last two times we've done comprehensive plan updates because we've added a lot of land moved the urban growth boundary, added a lot of land for urbanization. We've done a full-blown EIS. So EIS has contained description of what a proposal is, what we're going to do, analysis of any potential impacts, and then how we might mitigate for that. So, and again, EIS is designed to present options to you and decision makers, not necessarily, it's not a decision document, it gives you some information.
And as you go forward on this, are you following the state RCWs or the ordinances that we have adopted in the county? And the reason I asked that question, on a couple of occasions now we found where the ordinance of our county has been more restrictive than the state law, and we want to go back and when we find those to fix those. So we will become more restrictive than what the state law is.
So my understanding is the section in our code that deals with SEIS pretty much adopts state RCWs, just about right down the line.
So I guess my request to you is that as you do that, and you look at our ordinance, that you compare it with the state requirement. And make sure that we don't supersede that in any fashion.
Understand. Basically, what I've been doing in terms of what are my guidance in terms of this process has been looking at the state statute. That's not to say I'm ignoring our ordinance, but I understand your question. So,
thank you.
So in terms of preparing an environmental impact statement, in a general sense, you start scoping meetings. They initiate a process. So this is a general kind of a general overview. Here it is in schematic. Next slide. We made a determination that there might be some impacts from updating our comprehensive plan. On July the 30th, we published in the newspaper a request for comments on the scope of an environmental review. Generally, then you have scoping open houses, you develop alternatives, you prepare a draft statement, environmental statement, and a final statement. That's kind of a generalized view of what the state requirements are. And again, this is the State Environmental Policy Act. This is not GMA. This is a separate law, a separate state statute. So, next slide. These are the kinds of things you study in an environmental impact statement. And again, the list is longer than this, but just gives you some ideas of the kinds of things you put in a document. Next slide. We prepared an environmental impact statement in 2007 because we were, if you recall, we added 12,000 acres to urban growth areas at that point, 19 square miles, and we figured that there'd be some impacts of urbanization over that large of an area. With the 2000 plan, we established expanded urban growth boundaries, and there were some challenges to that plan because of some agricultural land that we brought in, and given court cases and hearings board cases, we've met those challenges, and the current urban growth boundaries, the ones that we have today, right now, are based on that. We also know that the Growth Management Act requires a 20-year land supply. That's for the residents and the jobs. We've already had this discussion. You've already picked a population projection and a jobs projection. we have to go through and determine whether we have 20 years worth of land. The question then is, again, can current vacant and buildable lands accommodate the population and plan based on the planning assumptions that you've already adopted? Next slide. Here are those assumptions. There's the population total you've picked, the number of new residents, the split, the number of new jobs. Again, these are all things that you've seen before. So if you're wondering why this is in here, that I've sort of adapted a PowerPoint, this is pretty much what we showed at the scoping meetings. So I wanted you to see what information we're also giving the public here. So next slide. So given the planning assumptions that you've adopted and the amount of vacant and buildable land, there appears to be enough land to accommodate a 20-year growth projection. This is a question that we've already discussed. And so our path forward is to, instead of preparing a full-blown environmental statement, we're going to do a supplemental based on the 2007 environmental impact statement, because that document described the impacts over an area much larger than what we have now. And even the couple of expansions that the cities are proposing are covered in this larger EIS. So next slide. So again, we published a scoping notice on July 30th. You're required to have a 30-day comment period. That comment period ended September 1st. We had four scoping meetings. Is that on the next slide? The next slide? No, I guess not. I must have taken that out. We had four scoping meetings, the middle 2 weeks in August. We received 38 comments, scoping comments. 21 came over via email and the web, and 17 were done on comment cards. And in the PowerPoint, we have the 38 comments summarized. All this information is on the Clark County Comprehensive Plan webpage, so including this presentation. So,
Gordy, we had a citizen yesterday that asked if all of the comments were provided online, and that there was this concern that some of them were not. So this is all of them that we know about?
It's my understanding of the issue, it's what you define as a comment. My understanding from the testimony yesterday is that there were the questions that were asked at the... were just questions of me at the open houses. We don't record those. Okay. These are actually comments that people filled out, a comment sheet, or went online to the comment form on the web, the one that's now been expanded to 8,000 characters, or sent us an email. Okay. We're counting those as scoping comments. So if somebody asked a question at the one of the open houses, we didn't record that as a scoping comment.
Good. Thank
so,
you.
Next slide. So, what are we going to do for EIS alternatives? We're kind of scratching our heads because we're in a little different position than we were in 2007, because we're not expanding the boundary to any great degree. So the question is, what do we want to study in this supplemental document? So always your first alternative is no action. That is, do nothing, keep the current zoning, the current comprehensive plan designations, those kinds of things. So your first action is to do nothing, is keep the status quo. Alternative two, we're calling this, for lack of a better term, county-initiated actions. And there's quite a list here. Some of these are map corrections. Some of them are map cleanups. Some of them, for example, we're looking at urban reserve or urban holding. There's always been a question as whether it's a comprehensive plan designation or is it actually a zone. Well, we call it an overlay, but there's actually a zoning district in the code that talks about what you can and can't do there. To me, that's confusing. There should be a better job. So these are some of the things that we're proposing to do. And we can certainly talk more specifically about these. I should say that we are fleshing out the details of what some of these are going to look like, and we are intending to do two additional open houses at the end of October basically ask people to comment on these county-initiated actions. So, in other words, the scoping meetings just said, What should the scope of environmental review be for the comp plan update? We're actually going out and saying, well, these are more specifically the kinds of things we want that the county is proposing to do as part of the update. That's the difference. So these two upcoming open houses are not scoping meetings per se, but we're not defining them as scoping meetings. That period is done. But we're asking now for comments on, just like we would for any proposal on an ordinance or a map change. And so those are two open houses that we're proposing for later in October. And you'll hear more about those. So next slide. A third alternative then, we're thinking cities of Battleground, with Center and Ridgefield have asked for, or we've agreed to, lands for jobs. And again, there's a map on the, we don't have the map here, but there's a map on the grid that's on the comp plan webpage that shows what these areas are. It's 80 acres for Battleground.
Oh,
they are here. Oh, good. I stand corrected. There's proposed mixed use for employment. The bottom of that area, right in the middle, the bottom line, that's 219th. You can see to the left is where it says Dollar's Corner. You give an idea where that is. That's about 80 acres. So, and Aaron is here from you. Anything you want to say about this at this point? Okay. Next slide. Here's what La Center's proposing. Again, you can see I-5 and La Center Road. Three parcels, about 55 or 56 acres, again, for jobs. And next slide. The last one is we've agreed with the city of Ridgefield to bring into the their urban growth boundary the Tri-Mountain Golf Course. So I don't know how many acres that is, but that's what would be added to the Ridgefield UGA. So those things would be talked about and looked at in Alternative 3. All of these three areas were included in the EIS that was done in 2007. That's an important thing for you to know. So next slide. I think that has to do for the scoping process and the SEIS. We've got some other things we want to present to you, but any questions about that process that we can answer for you?
Nope.
Okay, and I'll turn it back to Oliver.
Good morning, Commissioners. This is the Oliver Ojiako, Community Planning Director. This is the area that I will focus on. There are about two more slides, and then we will take questions from the Commissioners. The other issues that is that we have to really focus on are issues that have come up and continue to come up at your morning and evening hearings. I recall that these issues related to designation of resource land in Clark County, and it is coming from Clark County Citizens United. At the work session that we had with the board on July 16th, we presented to the board how we would like to proceed with the scoping of the CEPA process, and the board asked us to proceed. We also presented a memo to the board focusing on what is our understanding of the issues that CCCU is raising. And this memo that we provided to the board is an attempt to respond to so many comments, if you will, and testimonies submitted by CCCU. The board, that memo is on your grid. It laid out pretty much the history of, summarizes very well the history of what was done in 1994, and the subsequent appeals and how those appeals were resolved. And since that work session, the board have continued to receive testimony and comment from CCU as early as you had one yesterday. I too have been meeting with representative of CCCU, and I recall our first meeting, Commissioner, with you and I and Gordy at Jerry Olson's Engineering. That was the first meeting with the group. That meeting was more of a listening, and they presented us with information. But since then, I've been asking the group, what is it exactly that you're asking the county to do? And on September 2nd, they submitted to the board, and I'm very happy to report that the board office have been very, very kind enough, and I will not say kind enough, but they've been submitting every comment submitted at your hearing, whether it's in the day or in the evening. They've been submitting that for our record. So I appreciate that. One of the things that Chris Cook will tell us is we have to index our record. We have to keep that. And I have one staff dedicated on my team to do the indexing for the 2016. So you received this at your September 2nd. That has the 9 acts from CCU. That's the first time that staff will say we have a clear understanding written down of what CCU is asking the county to do. I promised the group the last time I met with them, not the meeting that occurred yesterday, that I will ask the board for a work session to review some of the issues that the group is raising. Disregard my last bullet here. I will only say that I don't think we are at a point where we'll have a work session. Why do I say that? I have the meeting that I had with the group, and I know that Jose and GIS staff were present at that meeting, as well as Sir Peter Silman. The group added a 10th item to the list. So now we have a 10 item that the group is asking, and I provided that to the board. The one you had only 9. So what you have here are 10 items. In a form of a background, the reason I wanted to really make a comment on this is because the board is constantly receiving comments submitted into the record and testimony. I will say that after the 1994 plan adoption, in a way of background, and after the 2004 and the 2007 plan update, rural landowners were promised that the county will take a second look at the rural element. That was a promise. Now, I will say that the county did not promise outcome. What the county promised is an analysis, not an outcome. And in doing that analysis, the board also and the county recognizes that the law dictates. Now, the board appointed a task force to respond to that promise. The board appointed a task force, rural land task force, if you recall, to focus on what could be done within the state statute. What can we do? What can be done? That was the charge of the Rural Lands Task Force. Some changes have been made as a result of the recommendations of that task force. Some of those changes have been done through code work. If you recall, we underwent through a significant rewrite of Title 40. So majority of the recommendations that came out of the Rural Lands Task Force were done through that code restructuring or rewrite of Title 40 to make it simpler and easier to use. There were some policy issues or some gray areas that the task force make a recommendation on, and we staff continue to respond to the recommendations of the task force. We are now considering changing Ag 20 to 10 and Forest 40 to 20. And in my opinion, that is as far as we can go within the state statutes. I mentioned that we received the 10 acts from CCCU. We have been reviewing this. We met yesterday. I won't go into details of our meeting yesterday. Commissioner Mado attended that meeting. But I can say that with regards to resource soils, we have different opinions. That's item number one.
Oliver, I got one question. You mentioned the FR and the ag. You didn't mention the R from 20 to 10.
Yeah, that's true. We're also looking at the Ruru 10 and the Ruru 20. With the understanding that those were used for buffering resource properties, where if we complete the proposal from Ag 20 to 10 and Forest 40 to 20, where those big R, let's say R 20, abutting FR 20, we will keep the R20, where the R20s are budding potential Ag-10, they will automatically go to R10. So okay. That is also in the pipeline. Coming back to resource soils, as I said, we have different opinion. CCU is only looking at certain soils that they believe met the test of what should be considered as resource. And they're also looking at only one soil series, the cinnabar series, as what should be considered as the soil type for forests. I will conclude that the difference of opinions we have is that there are omitting, and I use the word omitting, other soil classifications that meets resource designation. As you look at this list, three of their requests are for change in parcel size. As I indicated, we're already beginning to address Ag 20 to 10 and Forest 40 to 20, which as I said, I believe we may be able to, if we maintain the resource designation, I think that may be sustainable. I don't know at this point. Recognizing existing parcelization which have occurred throughout the county, if you look at four and five and item six, we know clearly that we have a non-conforming provision in our code as it stands today. So that provision is there. So we have a process to recognize that now. And I was discussing with my staff this morning that the first thing you taught in planning school is that no county, some of us that come out of planning school, no county will recognize existing parcelization that have occurred without following platting laws. So that request cannot be met. If you look at, for example, we know that property owners, for a variety of reasons, sell their property, some for tax purposes, some for a variety of other purposes. So if our legal folks are here, they will acknowledge that you cannot blanketly recognize all the existing parcelization that have occurred. You have to follow the platting laws of the state of Washington, in this case, Washington. If you look at the other items here, be it item 9, they are asking the county to recognize or to allow 2 to 4 units per acre in the rural centers. Well, you know that is an urban density. That's 10 to 20,000 square foot lots. That is an urban density and doesn't really get you to a rural character the way it is defined. The item number 10 that they've added, I can report to the board that we, if you go back to the slide that Gordy described in terms of county initiative, we are making effort to clarify how we designate or use urban holding and urban reserve. So we are going to make some changes to item number 10. So that's already on our list to do. What will my summary be? I don't think we are ready to go to a work session. And if the board wants us to go to a work session on some of these issues, you let me know. But I don't think we need to go to a work session. I told the group that I will ask the board to see if you want to have a work session on this. I think I've provided you a good summary of what these issues are and which ones I don't believe we can promise outcome. As I said in the beginning, you cannot promise outcome. You can promise analysis. And that is the analysis that we have been doing since all this information is coming to the board. I will assure the board that my staff and myself will be coming to the board, providing you with the best available information. And I will stand by that information, be it soil, whatever it may be. It is very challenging. I've said this before, that when we do plan update, there are so many stakeholders, and it is very challenging, but we are equal to that task. What I will caution is that what any group is submitting into the record, they will also recognize that it is challengeable. What the county is also submitting into the record is also challengeable. I will do my best with my staff to come to the board and provide you the best information that is out there. If anyone wants to challenge it, I welcome them to challenge that. I have confidence in GIS staff. It is challenging when they provide a map to any group, whether it's CCU or Friends of Clark County or any other group. It is good for that group to tell the board that what you are seeing or what they are providing you is what they are asking our GIS staff to map. It's not the whole picture. And I listen to all the testimonies. I go back to our GIS staff and I ask them questions. Why is your map different from what I know? And they come back to me, Oliver, there is a disclaimer on that map, because we mapped what we were asked to map. I think the board needs to do that. I have served so many boards before this one, and I will not change my approach. We will have best available information to the board. The next item I want to go to is, yes, Commissioner?
You mentioned that we have documents that are being indexed into the public record for this process.
Yes.
Are those documents also online indexed?
We have not yet put it online because it's not complete. We will at some point make it public.
Which sounds like a logical way, but I'm curious, once a document gets submitted, even though we're continuing to add to that index, that document doesn't get changed at that point. It's already submitted as is, right?
Yes.
So potentially it would make sense for us to be able to kind of include our visibility as we go to see what's been submitted, and we could draw from that library.
We can certainly do that. Yes, I will make a notation to do that as a request from the board that we post that online.
At a minimum, it's available for a public records request. So if anybody wanted to see what we have as our index, we're at least at that bar.
And this is such an important process, and you mentioned there are so many stakeholders on that, and this makes such a difference to so many people, that the more transparency that we can add to this process, the more we can be open with these public records so that they don't have to ask us for that we can post those like we did with the public comments, that would be very helpful.
You know, while we post something like that, I think it's very important that we recognize that it's a proposal, mm-hmm. and it's a work in progress, that right across the middle of the map or something, because sometimes people take it for the actual work that we're doing or actual work that we've accepted. We want to make it very, very clear that it's a proposal, a work in progress.
Thank you, Commissioners. Well noted. Commissioner?
On your last bullet point, should the staff proceed with this to schedule a work session or continue to work? I support your continued working, because you're doing very important work, having a lot of conversations, following through on so much in preparation for a work session. I certainly support that ongoing process. When you get to the point where you feel like now it's appropriate to come forward with a work session at that time to schedule it, that's, I'm very supportive of that.
Okay. Well, yes, Commissioner.
Go ahead and answer David's question. If you're going to answer that,
it wasn't a question. It
was a suggestion. I take it as a suggestion, not a question. But we'll continue to dialogue with the group. And at some point where the board believes we have to have a work session, I will ask for that. The only thing I will say is that, as you know, we have a deadline, which is June 30th, 2016. So at some point, we have to make a decision that the board have to provide us your choice, and we need to include that as part of part of the process.
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner.
Question. In this modern age, at the board, at the commission meeting on Tuesday, we had the comments made that that some of the stuff wasn't recorded for that, and it was brought up again. You brought it up earlier. In this day and age, what's the possibility of doing this when you have a public testimony like that, doing audio so that you have not only the printed material, you have an audio recording, so that if a question comes up from an individual that said they said something, whether it's on the record or off the record, the question was asked, it would be down to where everybody would be able to know just exactly what was said so we could use it for legal or what other?
Yes, it's my goal to come up with a better way to address that concern. It's a concern that I'm very aware of. And what I plan to do in the next open house is not so much of recording it, but make it very clear that if you are providing, there are three ways you can provide comment. You can send email, you can write us a letter, you can do it in person. What I would like to do, the in-person part, is to provide a comment sheet whereby you write it down and you put it in a comment box provided at the open house. We collect that. So when you ask me a question, what is my zoning, or I would like my zoning to be X, that's a comment. You can put it down and I'll help you. And my staff will be there to help you, you know, write it down and submit it into a comment box. That is one of the techniques that I would like to use.
Well, sometime, Oliver, people make public comments at the county commission meetings and stuff, or some of them are not able or don't want to write the stuff down in that, and they would rather speak on the microphone and get it out there. So I think it's important that you have a backup so that if something happens, that you do have the information down right, whether it's in written form or whether it's in speech on the microphone.
We will look at that. In the past, we've used CVTV to cover some of our events. I will look into the calls and whether they can do that for some of these two open houses that we are coming. So we submit the tape that, you know, we review the tape afterwards to capture some of the comments that were said. But you know, commissioners, logistically, we have several stations. They're talking to one of my staff here. They're talking to another staff here, or they're wandering to, from different stations, from one station to the next, and they're saying or asking different questions. So I think the techniques I want to use is I will help you articulate. My staff will be there. I will help you articulate what your question and issues are, and we put it into the comment box and collect that and made it part of the record. But I hear what you're saying, Commissioner.
And this would stop anything from anybody saying something wasn't recorded or wasn't printed. So.
Yes.
Sure. The idea of us recording events where we're taking serial conversations one at a time onto one audio tape or CVTV, that works really well for this kind of format. But the kind of format that your staff is involved in out there, there's a lot of parallelism. Many conversations happening at the same time. So logistics-wise, it just doesn't lend itself to recording the audio of those. But the idea of if it's important enough for that citizen to be able to get something into the record, you're facilitating that and say, if you care enough to do that, here's the process. I'll help you. Their paper, write it in, and that becomes the record. That sounds like, the logistics-wise, that's really the practical solution.
We certainly thought so.
Yeah.
Other than the glitch with the 500 characters, which we fixed, that was unfortunate. But yes, we gave the handout, the proposal, the handout, and the presentation that was made at the open houses is all on the comp plan webpage. And one of the slides is here's four ways. You know, do it in person here, right at the meeting. Here's the sheets. You can do it on the web. You can do it by email, or you can write us a letter.
Very
and
supportive of that.
That goes, as I said the other day when Ms. Reisbeck was up here. We welcome anybody to comment on any of those formats anytime, at any point on anything.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next slide. This slide is a continuation of other issues. If the board recall, you at your hearing on June 24th, you adopted your population and employment allocations. You also adopted the board principles and values or guidelines for the preparation of this plan. And the cities, who some are here at the table, asked that we put a language in the board principles and values to make every city whole, and the board directed us to work with the cities to make sure that the growth that they plan in 2008 is consistent with what they're going to be looking at going forward. In other words, the cities are saying we do not want to expand the boundary except those that are asking to expand the boundary for job. We do not want to expand our boundary or to shrink our boundary. So we've been having dialogue with the cities since June. And I would say that before I was out of the office, that was in August, we reached what I will call a tentative agreement with all the cities of Battleground, La Centre, and Richfield are now made whole. So there's additional allocation to those three cities. It did bump up the previous population decision that the board made, but not significant. So I can report that we are tentatively in agreement with the cities to make all the cities whole, in addition to those that are asking for expansion. What the cities have asked that I do is recognize and share with the board that we will come to you at some point. We know that these numbers, you know, change. You know, the base year we are using is one of the things we'll take a look at to make sure that we are using the numbers associated with the base year, whether it's 20. Right now we're using 2014. We may switch back as we come closer to 2015 and use 2015 base number. That may alter our end numbers, relatively speaking, it may or may not. So what the cities have asked is that at some point, the board will have a hearing and amend the previous adopting resolution on population and employment, but they're not asking that you do that now. They want to continue to share that information with their council and at some point say, yeah, we are now on board, and whatever they ask me to come to the board for you to have a hearing and formalize that, I will let the board know. But I can say and report back to the board that I think we are we've reached consensus or agreement with the cities on making everyone whole.
I think what I just heard you said is that the numbers of population and the numbers of jobs for those cities are asking for more.
What I'm reporting to you is that in making everybody whole, for population, the number, the 562 went up a little bit because the three cities, actually two, are asking for additional land for jobs. We've run the VBLM, our GIS folks have run the VBLM. That added additional potential for job numbers. So your 91,200 have gone up a little bit. That's all I'm reporting. And the cities is saying wait until we, the cities, take that to our council and have them confirm that. We will come back to the county at some point and ask you to have a hearing and formalize that.
That's good. So we are, with the starting point, the 91,200 in the population number, they're a starting guideline, and we're accommodating the requests of the cities. If they want to be able to adjust that, then we'll include that in our summary, and we welcome that. I'm curious also, in this alternatives three, there are only three small cities listed there, and I'm curious, what about Camas? What about Washougal? What are they asking for alternative three?
Quickly, Camas is not asking to expand the boundary. They're asking to remain the way they are from the 2007.
So boundary,
these are the cities that have asked to expand the boundary.
The only cities that have
the only cities that have done so.
Okay.
The other cities have come to the table and tell the county we are not interested in expanding the boundary this go round.
Okay.
And as you know, we've said to the board that this process, per the state statute, says update, review, and update if necessary. The word is if necessary. So God is correct. The decisions that you've made, the planning assumptions, decisions that you've made, it's up to us to work with the city in collaboration to come to a consensus that there is indeed a 20-year land supply as required by the statute. And what the cities are saying, those that are not asking for expansion, is that there is indeed adequate supply of land to accommodate the growth or the decisions that you've made. That's where we are. But again, the cities are still asking me to wait before you formalize these changes. They want to run it through their own council.
And we're doing everything that we can to accommodate those requests. We're not pushing back. We're inviting and just assuming that we'll all be successful, and there's not going to be any pushback on that.
That's true, and I have Camas, Battleground, and the City of Vancouver here. I don't know if they want to chime in. If not, I'll move to the next slide. But I want to also point to the board on the third bullet there. We have a tentative agreement with the cities, and we issued issue paper 4.1. That is also on the grid, the board grid. Next slide.
They'll have to show you the numbers to justify what they're requesting, right?
Yes.
We have to show our work at the end of the day, correct, when we're done. Yes.
I will let Gordy jump on this. The only thing I want to add before Gordy summarizes this process, as Gordy indicated, we will be going out again and have two more open houses. The reason for that is that we now have three options, if you will, that has people, as you know, when you put a color on the map, I want to know how that impacts me. I want to know what the zoning of my property is. The idea of going out here now is to show the people, to show the citizens, all those county initiative and the city's request, see it visually. See what the colors look like. How will this impact you? I want to use the input that will come out of that process to inform us on our CEPA going forward. So that's why we'll go out. We have two dates now, October
29th and 30th.
29th and 30th. We will be at in Richfield and also at the Geyser Middle School. We are working on putting the legals and everything we need to do to make sure, and this time we are going to allow for 30-day comment, and all this stuff is working behind the scenes to get us ready logistically to go. So I'm very optimistic, and I want the board to support us to do that, rather than do this. Procedurally, I want to get it right. On the substantive issues, I leave that to the PA folks.
Sure.
Got it?
Yeah, this is just our commissioners. Our next steps is, as Oliver said, we have three alternatives, and the differences between what we're doing now, again, and what we did is in a scoping meeting, you say, here's some possibilities. What would you like to see? Now we're actually saying, you know, the alternatives we thought about in the scoping, they're pretty good. We're fleshing those out, and that's what we're going out again at the end of this month and saying, here's what the colors on the map, as Oliver said, here's what this means for you. So those are actually going to be at the end of October. We've set those dates before this slide. This moves the DSEIS completion, the draft supplemental EIS completion. We slipped it a month. So instead of being issued in December, now we've moved that issuance to January. We're still proposing a joint hearing with you and the Planning Commission on the draft. That's moved a month into February. So this schedule's basically slipped a month, is what we wanted to say. And the final supplemental, which will be on the preferred alternative, which, you know, whatever you choose that to be, we're looking for May or June of next year. So in terms of the SEPA process, these are our next steps. So just if there are questions on that in terms of what we need to do.
Great.
So the other thing I wanted to add, Oliver's alluded to it, we're meeting monthly with the cities. We have monthly meetings with all our city partners, and like I said, Sarah's here and Brian and Aaron, and we continue to do that, and why they're here at the table is we've invited them to join us and come and speak with you at basically your invitation in case there's anything that they want to say. So that's, if you're wondering why the cities are here, we want them to be partners with us, and we want them to come and talk to you if you have questions. So, and thank them for taking the time to come down today. So that's all we have, I think.
Okay.
Any questions, be happy to answer.
All right. Any question from the board?
Well, I'm happy to see this is a collaborative, we're all in this together, cooperative effort.
Ed?
One question I would like to ask, in your presentation up there, when you talk about different areas of resources, the gravel mining has always been a big issue now in that, and I hope that in the future that we're looking, we've understand that there is some gravel resources up by Slashy Prairie that would be available, and I would hope that when you folks take a good hard look at that, that we're able to maybe assess how much gravel's there and maybe be able to use the railroad to haul this gravel from Slashy Prairie back down and get some of the pressure off of the truckers and the rest of them. And I also understand there could be a possibility of a biomass wanting to locate up at Slashy Prairie and haul the stuff on the railroad. So I would hope that you folks would be looking at all that.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll give you a 30-second update on the surface mining overlay, which is a project that we know has been going on for a couple of years now. The board has agreed in principle to a map that will show where a surface mining overlay will be applied. There's no ordinance, but you've agreed in principle. We're working right now with some of the neighbors, the neighborhood groups, and we will be working, the next step is to work with the operators on some draft policy language, which goes into the comp plan, and code language, which goes into Title 40, our development code. That's our next step, and at some point we'll be requesting of you, how do you want to proceed with that? But we're still working at your direction with the stakeholders to see where we have agreement, to see where we don't have agreement, and I'm pleased to say we met with some of the neighbors yesterday, and they're reasonably pleased with what we've got, and we do have a surface mining overlay page on the Clark County Community Planning webpage as a subpage, and all the at least now all the proposals are there. People can look and see what Planning Commission recommended, what staff has recommended, what the Friends of Livingston Mountain have recommended. Our next step, though, is we need to go work with the operators and make sure we have their input. So you'll be hearing more about this project fairly soon.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
appreciate
it.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioners. And finally, from me, I want the board to walk away, and I want my own staff to walk away, and the cities who are here. We are not saying no to the issues that CCCU is raising. Don't want to give that impression. We are not saying no. As I said earlier, I'm just summarizing that the county cannot promise outcome. we can promise analysis, and the law dictates. I remember one of my meetings, I asked a question, is there any court ruling or any ruling from the growth board that says Clark County, thou shalt do X, since 1994, and the county haven't done? And the response I got from representative of CCU is, no, there is none. And they're not saying that there is. They're just asking the board and the county to take a second look at what is possible. And that's what we are doing. We provide you analysis, and you make a decision one way or the other. I've pointed out areas where we disagree. That is not saying no, but that's what your staff will continue to do, is provide you best analysis that we can on the issues that are raised, recognizing that the law dictates, and we are taking advice from our PA's office. Anytime you want us to have a work session with you on this, let us know. Thank you, Commissioners.
Mayor Oliver, I just want to make sure that in our cautiousness of complying with the law, which of course we always want to do, in our disclaimer that says we'll analyze it, but we don't guarantee success, we want to make sure that we also don't preclude success, that we will do whatever we can to find out where we can make everyone successful, and if there be some way that some of these requests can find a path forward to satisfy citizens better, that of course that is our goal as well. We understand that there are boundaries and limitations. We must comply with the law, yet we'll still look for success.
Okay, Commissioners, thank you very much.
Okay.
I would like to have a 101 with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Some point in time.
Okay. We'll work with Lynette to set that up. Okay. Thank you, Commissioners.
Anything else from the board? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Great step.
I'm writing things down too for a while.